Dean Yoder, our speaker today, shares a message about remembrance. What do we do when we forget where we hid the Word of God in our heart?
This is Awaken Online, a virtual library of the Sunday morning messages at Awaken Church in McMinnville, Oregon.
I wanted to start out by saying, like, in case you're not sure why we're all here this morning, or any Sunday morning, it's because of some things that we believe. Now, today, I think, is just a day of remembrance. The whole theme for me started going a different one direction, and it ended up at remembrance. So we'll see. I think that message is kind of come through loud and clear, and we're going to finish up with communion, led by Kirk and Stacy. I think it's going to be really great, but we believe we're here because we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. We believe that Jesus was with God and is God, and that God is Father, God is Spirit, and he's Son, and that God the Father sent God the Son to earth, and that he was born by the Spirit from a woman. We believe that. We believe that Jesus came from heaven down to earth to be a man, just like, in some ways, just like you and I, a lot of ways. And we believe that Jesus lived as a man on this earth, and he laid down his life by being crucified on a cross, and that he died completely, but temporarily, so that we could live forever with God when we die. It was his one-time sacrifice that made communion with God for all time possible. We believe that God the Father, by the power of his Spirit, raised Jesus to life after being completely dead for 3 days. And that now Jesus is back in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and has been given all authority in heaven and earth. We believe that even though we are alive here on earth, that spiritually, which is as good as physically, it's no difference, that we were crucified with Christ, that it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives inside of me. And we also believe that spiritually we are sitting with him in heaven. I don't know how it works, but that's what the Bible says, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this is why we're here this morning. It's to worship, it's to celebrate, it's to give thanks that he is alive. It's why we get up every morning. It's why we go to work and give our best. It's why we love our families. It's why we do whatever it is that we do. We do it as unto the Lord, because he is worthy of all praise. And this is why we come together. This is why we believe in Jesus. This is why we celebrate. It's because he is worthy of everything, and he laid down the ultimate sacrifice for us. King David said something like this. He said, "The word of God have I hid in my heart." So my question to start out with this morning is, what do you do when you forget where you put that at? What do you do when you forget where you put the word of God that has been hidden in your heart? Life is challenging and messy and hard sometimes. And there's times where we forget where the word of God has been hidden in our heart. We hit it really good. Do you ever do that at home? You put something somewhere, someplace, so that you don't forget where it's at, so that nobody else can find it, only you, except for you don't write down where you put it, or you don't make a note, or you don't tie a string to your thumb, or something like that, and then you're like, where is that? Now, usually that's the time where Beth says it's sitting right in front of you. Okay. When you don't remember the word of God, what you need is a community to remind you. You need a remembrance. When you're forgetting what God says, you need something to remind you. And that something is community. It's you and I. I think we're going to go to the scripture passage because it's in Luke 24, 1 through 12. Jesus has been crucified. It's been a day or two. There were some ladies who were preparing spices to anoint his body. Not his live body, his dead body. It says that on the first day of the week, this is verse 1, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared for Jesus' dead body and went to the tomb. I added for Jesus' dead body. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" We know the whole story, right? It seems pretty obvious. Yeah, ladies, why are you, why are you looking for the, that's a great question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? I would have asked them that question, but it's absolutely not true. That is not true. I would have not come up with that question. I would have been just as confused as they were, especially as they had entered the room with spices that they had prepared for a dead body. It shows you exactly what they were thinking. They were not looking for the living among the dead. They were looking for the dead among the dead. That's what they were there for. This question that these guys said, and I say guys because some translations say angel, some people, but most of the translations say two men. So we know they were some sort of heavenly being, but they looked like men. Not that angels can't be that, but I just want to emphasize that these guys look like men, and that was interesting to me that they look like men to them, but they obviously didn't look like real men as they were dressed in this dazzling white. But they ask him this question. They ask him a question, why are we looking for the living among the dead? And I believe that this question actually is what could stop them all of a sudden. Start thinking. Like, that's a really strange question. For one thing, I bet you they've never walked into a tomb before and had two guys standing there that talked to them without the dead body there, right? So Jesus was really good at asking questions that stopped people and started them thinking. A lot of times, as an example, there was the woman at the well, and he's talking to this Samaritan woman at the well, and he asked her about her husband's. And she said, "Well, I'm not married." And he said, "That's right, you're not married. You have had five husbands or three husbands, and the guy you're living with now isn't your husband." And he, it wasn't necessarily a question, it was a statement. But it's like, what? How did you know that? What are you saying? You know, like that type of thing stops you right in the middle. It's him telling the guys that were getting ready to stone the woman caught in adultery, "All right, whoever hasn't sinned can throw the first stone." Nobody thought of that question. I wouldn't have thought of that question. I don't know what I would have done. I would have went to the rules, which was, you know, what the whole setup was. But he said something that arrests people. You're put under arrest by the police. You're detained, right? He says things to people that arrest them. It makes them go, "Huh? What?" And it shifts everything. He tells the disciples, "You feed the thousands of people." What? How are we supposed to do that? "Well, I just showed you last time. Didn't you learn anything?" Duh. You guys do it. Seems obvious. But the question, I believe, began a shift for them. Because what they go on to tell the ladies, they say, he's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And it says, then they remembered his words. They remembered. Once they remembered, what can happen? Now faith can start working. I think I'm going to flip back here to a couple of scriptures I have, if I can find them in the right spot. See, Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Maybe you've heard it, faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the word of God. Maybe you've heard that one before. That kind of just comes out of my mouth really easy. But I noticed a lot of the translations say by the word of Christ. And so I think what the translators are trying to get us to understand, that the Bible is the word of God. It is the words of Christ. And those words are living words. They're not just, it's not just like something you can say as a, it's not like a chant or a formula, a word that you can just say these words and it makes things work. They're words that come from the living God, right? They're the living word of God. And so in order to know the word of God, in order to have faith, you have to know the word of God. That's what activates faith. It's the word of God. And let's go back to the other one too. Let's not. These ladies get reminded by the angels about the word of God. They get reminded of it. And once they get reminded, they remember that Jesus said it. So it was in them already. The word was already in them, but these circumstances that had messed everything up in their world, not understanding what it meant when Jesus said that, had caused it to leave their memory. Everything else was a distraction. And the angels say the word of God to them and ask them to remember. And all of a sudden they remember. Now faith can come alive inside of them. Now hope can start beginning to build. And all of a sudden they remembered and they start to believe. They don't understand everything, and they go back, and it says they, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others, the disciples, the apostles. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others were with them who told this to the apostles. But the apostles did not believe the women because their word seemed to them like nonsense. Let's just hit that for just a second. Why would the word seem like nonsense to them? Well, for one, the whole idea of a person dying and being raised to dead. In fact, they had seen Jesus raise people from the dead before, but the resurrector was now dead. So the guy that they'd seen raise people from the dead was now dead, so who's going to raise him from the dead? So this is a big confusing mess to them. And it wasn't that they just didn't believe women. You know, I think I've heard, well, it was just women. We didn't believe women. But there's a bunch of women, okay? There was a bunch of them. And there was a bunch of them that saw some different things. If you read different of the books of the Gospels, you see that some of them say there was one angel. You know, some of them, so you're getting different stories. It's just like if you were at, okay, let me give this example. If you go to Women's Coffee on Tuesday, all right, you're going to walk in the room and they're going to have a story. But you're going to get the story from like seven different people. And you're going to get seven different versions from their perspective. Not that the women don't know the story. They just get it to you from their perspective. They're going to give it to you from their perspective. And so I think in the different Gospels, we have different perspectives. And so, was it one person in white? Was it two people in white? This just doesn't make, he's not there. So the body's not there, right? You know, it's like, this just is kind of crazy to me. And so I don't know. But here's the deal. It didn't not have any effect. It did not have any effect to them because it says in the next two verses, it says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And actually, there's another gospel that says Peter and John ran to the tomb. Nobody runs without something motivating them. Something inside of them said, I don't know what these ladies are really talking about, but I want to find out. I want to find out. In order for us to have faith, we have to know the Word of God. The 11 and the ladies, so the whole community had forgotten what Jesus had said. The whole community. And so God sends angels to remind them of what he said. Like, I haven't had any angels show up at my house to remind me of what God said, but I have had you guys at times remind me of what God says. I have had you, like, speak faith into me. We were driving home from Mexico on Thursday afternoon, we crossed the border from Mexico into the United States. We just finished building two houses. We were all happy as can be, and we were ready to roll. We were like an hour away from the hotel we were going to stay at, and my pickup idiot light comes on or whatever, the check engine, and a message comes up on it. I always thought the idiot light meant that it was a light that you could push a button and it would shoot the idiot driving in front of you that you didn't like, but that's not it. I found out that's not it. The light comes on and bells and whistles, ding, 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 167 miles until your pickup shuts down, basically, or till you slow down to your limp. And I'm like, what do you think? How do you think I responded in this situation? Thank you, Jesus. This is bringing the word of the Lord to me right now. Do you think I responded that way? I had Loretta was in the pickup, and then there was another guy sitting behind me. His name was Ken. And we had, and there was another person, too, that we were actually taking to the airport. Everybody else was going a different direction. We were going to circle back around, catch up with them in like an hour. But we were taking one person to the airport in Yuma. And I'm like, we tried pulling over and just checking a few things. And, like I said, guess how I was responding inside. I was not happy. The pickup has 81,000 miles on it. Blah, 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 right? This should not, I take care of it, I change oil, I do this, I do that. Like, and here's something that I know I can't fix right now. I fix a lot of my stuff. And I knew I was going to be at the mercy of a dealership, right? Or something like that. But I didn't even know, are we ever going to find one? It's like 4 o'clock or something on the afternoon. And I have Loretta next to me going, well, let me see. I said, look for a dealership on the phone. And I'll keep headed towards the airport. And so I keep headed towards the airport, and I thought, as soon as we get Andy dropped off, we'll deal with this. And she says, well, it says there's one really close, right? And I kind of wanted to say, great, right? Thank you, Jesus. But that's what I was supposed to be doing. They're like, oh, this is good news. This is good news. There's a dealership close. And I'm like, well, inside I'm thinking, what if they can't work on it or look at it? It's like towards closing time. All these kind of what ifs that aren't positive. And they're like, well, this might work out. What if God's working in this? And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm going to try to shift my thinking a little bit. All things can work together for the good. And we pull in to the dealership, and I go in. And I tell the guy kind of our situation, and I was really hoping that he'd say, let me see if I can get this in. He goes, we can't get this in until tomorrow morning. And they're like, that's good news. They can get it in. They have the parts. And then he showed me what it was going to cost. And I was like, yeah, thank you, Jesus, again, right? But we walk out of there with them knowing they could probably fix it the next day. And it was only going to take 8 hours to fix. Whoa, that's cool. They have the parts. They can do it tomorrow. It's only going to take 8 hours. And I was almost ready to text the Stephanie and say, listen, I'm not going to be there on Sunday, you know. And then the phone rings. And Jim calls me. He says, well, there was a few conversations. And he said, well, I'll stay back with you. But let me talk to the guy. I'm like, okay. So Jim walks in there. And he said, look, he explains the situation to him probably much more clear than I did. But then he throws a better question in. I didn't ask the question. And he asked the question, could your guy stay late or come in early for us to fix it? He asked the director. I'm like, oh, that was a really good idea. And then he made him an offer like that maybe we would kick in a little extra or something like that, right? And I'm like, did you see the first quote? But he's like, no. I'm like, yeah. Anyhow, he goes back and talks to the mechanic, and the mechanic says, I'll have it done by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm like, wow, God's working. He's working, and everybody is super positive, and they're reminding me to stay faithful in this. In order to be faithful, I have to remember that God's for me, not against me, right? Stuff like that. You know, it's like, oh, all these people around me saying positive things and speak, because they know I'm in the mess of it, right? It's really my problem. But they were taking on the problem as a community. But it wasn't happening with the apostles and the disciples in that moment. Like, the ladies had, like, they didn't go anoint Jesus' body on the Sabbath because it was a Sabbath, but I'm guessing that the Sabbath was just kind of, I doubt that it was what it was to them usually, you know, holy day set aside. I'm sure that they were just going through the motions. They were lost in this stuff. And God sends angels to them to remind them of what Jesus said. Don't you remember where he said it? Now, it wasn't written in our, like, a Bible form yet, but it's just as powerful. Remember what he said. Remember what Jesus has said. Sometimes the word of God to get inside of you has to be preached to you. That preaching word is actually a really good word. It's not a finger-pointing thing. It's like, those people around me in the pickup preaching to me, hey, this is good. This is going to work out. This is going better than we thought. This is God's working. And sometimes we have to be reminded of what God's word is. See, like, I knew all of that, and I had to be reminded. Things just have to be remembered sometimes. It has to be brought to the forefront of our memory. And even though the women, they didn't see the risen Savior in that moment, they didn't see him, they remembered that Jesus said he would rise again. And when someone or something in the community reminded them of what Jesus had already told them, faith and hope began to rise inside of them. Maybe there's things inside of you that have caused you to forget where you've hid his heart. Maybe there's some roadblocks where you've hid his word in your heart. Maybe there's a place where you need his help. Maybe you need an encouraging word from your community. But if nobody knows that's what you need, they won't be able to say it. Maybe you need to go back to, maybe some of you don't have this, some of you have prophetic words over your life and you've just kind of put them on the shelf because you just don't know how they're going to work out. But you need to go back to them and see, what has God said to me?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Awaken Church, please visit our website, awakenmac.com. That's awakenmac.com.